read for us. Paul, one of Paul's favorite words, to edify, appears. Now, in Ken's translation, it was to build up. And the word edify literally means to build a house. Now, I don't know too much about construction sites back in the first century and what all went into it. I know a little bit about construction today, just because I've read about it, not because I know how to do it myself. And I'm glad that there are people who know how to do it very well and do it consistently. But to edify means to build a house. That's where we get the word edifice from. And it's a word that speaks about building up each other. And Paul uses it and wants us and commands us to edify one another, to build each other up, to strengthen each other. It's something that we do as part of our work here. But what Paul means, though, there is to edify one another. He's using figuratively to build a spiritual house. You know, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, Peter says, we are a spiritual house. And so we use that imagery then to understand the fact that when we meet together, we're part of God's spiritual house, and we're here to build one another up, to build that spiritual house. But in order to do that, that means all of us have to be spiritual craftsmen. Now, I know that, and as you see this picture here, there are a lot of different men, and there might be some ladies there too, working on different parts of it. I got to work in construction just a little bit for about 3 months. I was the plumber's helper. But his favorite thing wasn't new house construction. It was remodeling bathrooms. But he would do some new house construction. And so a couple of times, and this was in New Jersey from November to January, a couple of times we actually went out to new home that had no heat in it. And I got to see all the different specialties there and see everybody work together. And they all had their individual things. And so you see, here in the church, the spiritual house of God, we all ought to be spiritual craftsmen. And that's what to edify means, is that we're here to help use our own specialties to build each other up, to strengthen and build up this spiritual house. But in order to do that, we need to kind of know what our tools are. Now, these are not probably all the tools that we could use, but these are ones that I put down as kind of a first importance. And obviously, the first one is God's Word. We cannot edify one another. We cannot strengthen each other unless we know what God says. You can't know what to do as Christians unless we know what God says. And God has communicated to us. Now, remember that we have even though we call it Old and New Testament, it's really the First Covenant or Old Covenant and the Second or the New Covenant. And that means it's an agreement that God makes with us. An agreement he made with Israel, an agreement he makes with us in the church. And that agreement spells out our responsibilities. And so we can't build the spiritual house, we can't know what to do, unless we understand that we are responsible for certain things. And those are the things that have to be taught. And so God's Word is so important in our edification of each other, in our quest to use the right tools. God's Word has to be center, because it tells us everything that we need to know. And so God's Word is our first step and our first tool. But then there's our words. That's the words we take in order to put God's Word into practice or into teaching for one another. And now our words come in really kind of two flavors. One is positive and one is negative. One we call encouraging one another. And we like to hear positive words. We like to hear, you can do it. We like to hear, that was good. We like to hear, you're going to get better. We like to hear those kinds of things. But sometimes, though, we need the other part, too, the critique part, the negative part. Sometimes we need to hear, well, that wasn't quite so good, and you need to work on this. Now, sometimes we don't like to hear that, but it's necessary. You know, our society today is kind of a little bit in this no negativity mode right now. They don't want their kids to hear negative thoughts and to be criticized and so forth. And what happens, of course, is they grow up, they go through college, never hear anything negative, and then they get out in the real world at that first job where some guy or some woman owns their own company and wants things done their way, and when they don't do them their way, then they get the negativity, they get the criticism. You didn't do it right. And all of a sudden, they can't handle it. And so we need that. We need to hear sometimes the negative. Now, I'll talk about how to kind of put that how to kind of characterize that, but I think that it's important for us to know that sometimes we do have to say, you need to work on that. The word admonish means to put right or to kind of correct. And sometimes we need correction. Sometimes we need to know that's not a pathway we should be walking. That's not something we ought to be doing. And we need to correct. We need to change directions. And we need to tell one another that on occasion. So our words are really important. Our words are important to encourage, to build up, to be positive. But our words are also there in order to critique and to have some sense of movement and correction. I think another one of our tools, of course, are our deeds. We need to serve one another. And sometimes words aren't necessary. You see somebody in need, you just go and help them. You just go do for them. Sometimes it's taking a meal, which some of you do. Sometimes it's going over and mowing somebody's yard. Sometimes it's going over and taking care of something for them. Sometimes it's just helping them out in whatever capacity you can. But our deeds also serve as example or leadership as well. When other people see the idea of just going and doing something and acting on other people's behalf, then they get the idea that we ought to be doing that as well. And there's something about watching other people do something that is kind of contagious, and we like to imitate. They were trying to figure out how to get kids to eat foods they didn't like. And of course, you know, parents, you know how parents are. They scold you when you don't eat everything on your plate. And then they will take it and put it in the refrigerator. And when you want dessert later on, they'll bring it out and make you eat it. Sometimes that works. Sometimes it doesn't. However, they did a little study. And what they did was they found some kids who didn't like peas. And what they did was they put them in a group of kids that did like peas, and they put peas in the middle of the table and just stepped back. And all the kids that liked peas were there while they were coloring and so forth. They were reaching in there and started eating those peas. And you know what the kids who didn't like peas did? They started eating the peas. They couldn't believe it. Peer pressure, silent peer pressure has a way of working. And you see, when we serve one another, when we do deeds without necessarily speaking sometimes, other people see that and they follow suit as well. But a good tool for us is our love. Now, love is both a tool as well as how we use our tools. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, Paul says, knowledge puffs puffs up, but love edifies. And what Paul was telling the Corinthians is they had knowledge of a certain situation, and they just blurted it out. Well, this is the way it is, and this is the way we're going to do it. And they didn't love each other in the way to put that knowledge, to explain that knowledge in such a way that was helpful to each other. And what he's saying is that love considers the needs of other people. And so here, what it is, what Paul is telling us is that when we have love, then we take our words and our deeds and we put them into practice in such a way that we try to help other people, that we try to consider the needs of others. And we do it in love, of course. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 that we speak the truth in love. I really liked hearing Daryl talk a little bit about the 15-minute talk that some of the Romanian Christians give. And then afterwards they get critique from the brothers and sisters. That could be brutal on occasion. And again, if we have this idea that, oh, I'm just going to blurt out, you know, that was wrong and da-da-da-da-da, that could be hard and tough. But love says, okay, this brother, this sister needs some correction, and I'm going to do it in such a way that's helpful to them. I'm going to consider their needs. I'm going to consider putting it in a way that is helpful to them. You know, it's kind of like when I was in fourth grade, I started playing the trumpet. And you can imagine what a fourth grade, 3-month recital sounds like. And you know, as a parent, you want to encourage your kids, even though it sounds like it's a fourth grade, 3-month recital. And you could say something like, you know, because I love you, that was the best fourth grade, 3-month recital I've ever heard in my life. And so love tells us that there are needs to consider. And if we know the individual, then we can know what kind of, how they take criticism and what they need in particular. And so love then is a good tool in our quest to be a spiritual craftsman to build up the church. But also our prayers are tools, aren't they? The prayer of a righteous man avails much, James says. And we believe in the power of prayer. We believe that prayer brings about good effects. And so we believe that we ought to pray for each other. Do you pray for folks in our congregation? Do you know the needs? And I'm not just talking about the physical needs. I'm also talking about the spiritual needs. Do you know people well enough that you know their needs spiritually so you can pray for them and pray for what they need? We all need to know that. And of course, make sure you pray for me as well. I have spiritual needs. I have spiritual desires, and I need to grow as well. And so I think that all of us ought to realize what a tremendous power we have in our prayer life. And if we spend time in prayer for one another, what a way to build up each other in this spiritual house that we are a part of. And then, of course, there's patience. And some of you need patience. And of course, when I look in the mirror of God's Word, I realize I need patience too. We all have patience. I've been particularly blessed with a good bit of patience unless I'm driving a car. And I've brought this up before. For some reason or other, and I don't do anything wacky in the car. I don't, you know, run into people and I don't stop and yell at them or anything like that. I just say, Lord, help that person, please. They really need it. But for some reason or other, I just tend to notice other people's mistakes driving. But in other areas, I don't tend to notice that. But patience, I think, is combined with love, as Peter says, covers a multitude of sins. And I think by that, we utilize those tools in order to help each other because we realize we're all a work in progress. None of us has ever arrived. Paul said, I am not perfect. I have not arrived yet. But we have to work at the level that we have arrived at. And patience then considers that, and patience then understands the need for that. And so because of that, patience is a good tool that we use in trying to encourage one another and trying to edify, to build up each other. But all of this, though, we need to realize that all of these tools are not here to help people feel good. They're here to help them function properly. Years ago, there was a TV show called MASH, which stood for Mobile Army Surgical Hospital. And, of course, they had them out in Korea during the actual Korean War. And they made a movie about it, which you shouldn't see. It was a pretty horrendous movie. But they made a TV show about it. And the TV show was relatively good. And, of course, it was free of a lot of the obscenities that the movie had in it. But nonetheless, in the TV show, here they are. They're hospital. Of course, they get wounded soldiers. They patch them up. And they either get sent home or they get sent back, depending upon the level of their wound. But somewhere along the way comes this psychiatrist, Dr. Sidney Freeman. Interesting fellow. In fact, the actor just passed away here not too long ago. Sidney Freeman would come to the Mobile Army Surgical Hospital, where Hawkeye and all the others were, when they had a psychiatric need. And what happens sometimes is that somebody out on the battlefield will just not take it anymore and want to go home. And there's a lot that has to be done in order to get them over that. But Sidney Freeman, when he came and dealt with the people, his goal was to get them back to the front line. His goal wasn't to patch them up mentally or patch up their psyche and then send them home. His goal was to patch them up and get them back to the front line. His job was to make them function properly as a soldier. And that's what his job was. And so that's what our job is as well as Christians, is to make sure that we function properly. But then, of course, we have to know what kind of materials we're working with as well, because it's important to know what we're doing when we take these tools and we work on the spiritual house that we are. The foundation is Jesus Christ. Our foundation is Him, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. We don't just tell people about Jesus and all the good that He did. We also tell them about the fact that He died for us. That is His basic role, is to come and to be our sin sacrifice and to make it possible so that we could be forgiven of our sins and freed from our slavery to Satan and to his kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. And so that is the basic foundation. And so that means we take the tools that we have, God's Word, our words, our deeds, and we focus them upon making sure that everybody in God's spiritual house has that basic foundation, that's why we're here. That's our focal point. That's our foundation. It helps us to keep from having a sense of imbalance, and it helps us to keep us anchored as well. And so we take Jesus Christ as our foundation. But then the building blocks, and the three basic ones, are faith, hope, and love, and we build on that foundation. Paul says, now abide of faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. But we have to have faith in what God has done for us, and we have to have hope that Jesus is coming back again, and that he's going to give us an inheritance in eternity. And that love, then, that God has for us has to be expressed to all people. And those are the basic building blocks that come about as a result of our building up the spiritual house. But then, of course, we build on that all kinds of other things. There's wisdom and patience that we try to help each other to gain. And then there's joy, peace, and kindness. And the list goes on and on and on. We could add to it and show a great spiritual house. But you get the idea that this is the focal point. Since these are the materials that we work with, this is what we use our tools to work on and make sure that everybody has that foundation and those building blocks going on in each and every one of them. But we need to remember, though, that to edify is a community effort. It's not something that one person does. It's not something that just two or three people do. It's not something that just a handful. There's always that 80-20 rule. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And I don't know whether that's true here or not. My goal is just to make sure that all of you are trying to do what you're supposed to be doing. So I don't count heads in that. But it's a community effort. It's something that we all work on. And there are two translations of the text that Ken read for us that really kind of bring this out. Now, they're not the usual literal kind of translations. They're ones that take a little bit more liberty with the text, so to speak. But I think that they say something interesting. This is one by one fellow. It's called The Message. So speak encouraging words to one another. Build up hope so you'll all be together in this. No one left out. No one left behind. So there in that focus, he wants us to see it's a community effort. It's not something that just one person does. It's something that we all do. And in the easy-to-read version, so encourage each other and help each other grow stronger in faith, just as you are already doing. So you see, here is what we do as a community. The community here at Mount Dora, we work together in order to build the spiritual house that's here. And we all are spiritual craftsmen doing our part to do it. But we also have to realize that if we don't do our part and if we don't work together, disaster will happen. A builder or a wrecker. As I watched them tear a building down, a gang of men in a busy town, with a ho heave ho and a lusty yell, they swung a beam and the side wall fell. I asked the foreman, "Are these men skilled and the men you'd hire if you wanted to build?" He gave a laugh and said, "No, indeed. Just common labor is all I need. I can easily wreck in a day or two what builders have taken years to do." And I thought to myself as I went my way, which of these roles have I tried to play? Am I a builder who works with care, measuring life by rule and square? Am I shaping my work to a well-made plan, patiently doing the best I can? Or am I a wrecker who walks to town, content with the labor of tearing down? O Lord, let my life and my labors be that which will build for eternity. Author unknown, as far as I could tell. So which will it be, a builder or a wrecker? And you see, this is what our spiritual house will always look like because it will never be finished. We're always working on it. We are a work in progress, and we always have new folks. We always have needs, no matter how long we've been here, but we're always working. But I have one last question to ask about us, though. As we think about the fact that we're here to build our spiritual house, that we're here to work together as a community, we're here to use those tools in building the foundation and the basic building blocks, how many in the congregation do you really know? Now, I don't expect us to know everybody. I pretty much know a little bit of something about all of you. I don't know whether you know how much you know about everybody, but do you know at least a couple of people well enough that you can spot their spiritual needs? Do you know couple of people well enough that you can know that they need something done in their lives, that maybe that they're taking a detour? Do you know people well enough that maybe you might be comfortable in talking with them about something that needs to be corrected. Or maybe you know them well enough that you don't have the skills, but you know somebody else in the congregation who might, and that you can get that somebody over there to talk to them. You see, if we all take care in knowing each other, at least a couple of people, and we all know a couple of people, then we recognize then the things that are going on in each other's lives. You see, when we come and we just spend an hour together and then go our separate ways, we really don't know each other. We might know the songs. We might come to know the texts that are being read. We might recognize the repeating phrases in various prayers. But we're not here just to know all of that. We're here to know each other. We're here to make sure that we understand what needs we have. We're here to make sure that we recognize when needs are being met and when we recognize needs aren't being met. We need to make sure that we know each other well enough that we can spot those spiritual needs and we can help each other. That's what makes us spiritual craftsmen. But you see, it's also a two-way street. If you know people well enough that you can spot that, then they know you well enough that they can spot those needs in you as well. And so here we all take care of one another. And so are you being a spiritual craftsman? Are you helping to build up the church, the spiritual house here in Mount Dora? Those of us who meet together, who have needs. And are you using what specialties you have in order to help all of us meet those needs? This morning I pray that you are, and I pray that throughout this week you think about what you can do and always do to help us at Mount Dora build each other up and to edify one another. We always want to make sure that at the end of every lesson that you have the opportunity to respond to the invitation. The invitation is given because we all have needs. And tonight, this morning, you might have the need in order to come and let us know that there's something going on within your life that we as the family need here in Mount Dora to pray about. And so let us know what it might be so that we